evening and welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny Elkview, West Virginia on this tax day, April the 15th, 2026. We just finished our praise and worship and we want to welcome our online audience to join us tonight. And as always, we would love to hear from you. Click that like button and comment button. Let us know you're there. And as always, if you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. And tonight we're continuing our Bible study called Keep Those Bible Verses in Context. Keep Those Bible Verses in Context. And tonight's part three of the series. And on the first two Wednesdays, we looked at two verses per night that have been commonly taken out of context out of the Bible. So if you missed the first two parts, you can still catch up by visiting our church's Facebook page. Now, last Wednesday, we had to deal with an internet outage, so we were not able to do our normal Facebook broadcast. So all we have for last week is the high-quality audio from this little non-internet-connected audio device right here. And that is accessible through either our website or from the link that I posted on Facebook, I think, on Friday night. You can find it there. So if you're interested, those first two parts are available. So every week in this series, we point out that the Holy Spirit is the author of our Bible. So even though the men who actually put pen to paper or pen to parchment or whatever they used back then, they were ordinary humans used by God in a mighty way. But the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and as such, it behooves us to make sure that what we are reading, we are also understanding. And a single verse, or perhaps even a single phrase taken out of a verse, might lead us to misunderstand the meaning if we're not careful. But when we keep it in its proper context, we have assurance that we're getting the proper understanding from the text. So that's kind of the theme of our series, is it's okay to have Bible verses posted around the church, and the one that we're going to go over tonight is one we've had posted in our church for some time. There's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with having a single verse that you post on your Facebook page or something like that. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just when you're studying and reading, just make sure that we get it, keep it in context. All right, so you ready for tonight's verses? Everybody here was just standing up, you know, hands raised, they're excited. All right, first one tonight comes from the Old Testament. And this is a very popular verse, and like I said, I think at some point we had it posted in our building. It's from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. So some of you probably already know what verse this is. So I'll be reading from the New International Version. Ronnie's going to pull it up there. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house tonight, God, it's our desire, God, to lift you up. God, that you would be lifted on our prayers, on our praises. God, we just want to glorify you tonight in this house, tonight, and every time we're coming to this building, God, we desire for you to get all the glory. And Lord, as we delve into your word, God, pray that you guide me. Lord, we also pray that you would continue to be with Brother Bruce. God, we know he wanted to be here tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would grant him continued healing. God, it's our desire to see a speedy recovery. Lord, we'd love to have him back in our house. And Lord, we know he desires that as well. Pray for a gift of healing upon him tonight. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. It's a very popular verse, and it's one that you see all over the place. And just got to be careful, because when you read this verse just by itself, it might lead us to conclude that in every single circumstance, no matter what we do, that nothing but good things are coming our way. It says right here, God's gonna take care of us. Nothing but good's coming our way. But is that true? Do bad things come our way sometimes? I think the answer is obviously yes. Well, it says right here, God has promised. So this verse, if we take it out of context, it might lead us to think that no matter how we choose to live or no matter what's going on in the world, that our God will overlook our sins and maybe overlook our shortcomings, and he's always going to provide us our best life now. Sorry, I had to throw that phrase in there. Our best life now. Well, according to just this verse, if all we had was this one verse, you might think that God's plans are always to bless us. And I will say that in a general sense, Generally speaking, we know that our God loves us, and we know that our God desires for us to draw near to Him while we live holy lives. We know that's true. However, this verse was not written to the general public. It had a very specific audience, although even though it might seem different on the surface, this verse and the surrounding verses were written to the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah, who had been conquered by the nation of Babylon. So if you recall, the once whole single nation of Israel had been split into two kingdoms. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. The northern kingdom of Israel was attacked by the Assyrians, and they were conquered in 722 BC. And then over a century later, the southern kingdom of Judah was also conquered, this time by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And in both cases, the people of God were carried off as exiles away from their home. And if it were not for God, I would say the nation of Israel and both Israel and Judah would have disappeared off the face of the planet. But God, amen. God had warned Israel and Judah through the prophets for many years that their continued disobedience would end up resulting in their captivity. He told them through the prophets, this was coming if you don't change your ways. And if you read the whole book of Jeremiah, you'll see a whole lot of this. You repeatedly see God equating Israel's disobedience with God's punishment. God says, Israel, unless you return to me, unless you draw to me and follow my decrees, punishment is coming. So this verse that we just read is God's promise of restoration, with the understanding that God's discipline would eventually result in Judah's obedience. So now let's keep that verse in context. Ryan's going to pull up the next set of verses. Here's 29, beginning in verse 10. We're going to read all the way down through 14. Might make a little more sense. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And here it is, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So when you read the verses in context, you realize that the captivity of Israel by the Assyrians and followed by the captivity of Judah by the Babylonians was all part of God's wrath, all part of God's punishment for the nation of Israel. It was all part of the plan. It was not a mistake. It was not an accidental thing. It was all part of God's plan. And in these verses, our God is telling the members of Judah, the southern kingdom, that their captivity in Babylon is finally coming to an end. In the Old Testament, we see a recurring pattern with the nation of Israel. And if you guys have read the Old Testament, you probably see this pattern over and over. So the nation of Israel, they choose to honor God. They choose to keep His commands. And then a little bit later, they decide to slack off a little bit, and they start marrying those women of foreign gods, you know what I'm saying? And then they choose to abandon God's decrees, and then finally God disciplines them. And then over a period of time, after they're in discipline for a while, they return to their roots. They choose to obey God. They choose to follow His commands. And that cycle begins over and over again. You see it all the time in the Old Testament. But when you pull just verse 11 out of context, you miss the whole meaning. You miss the understanding. This is a nation that was conquered by an invading tribe, an invading country, was in captivity for decades, and now God's about to bring them back. That's the context for verse 11. If you pull verse 11 out of context, it almost sounds like what you hear from those prosperity preachers. And you might know who I'm talking about when I say prosperity preachers. preachers. These are the guys who get up on stage and they say, it is always God's will for you to be blessed. It is always God's will for you to be healthy. It is always God's will for you to be wealthy. Wealthy, starting with me. Starting with me. So send me your money right now. You know, just a side note, these prosperity preachers, I've noticed something that these TV preachers, you'll never hear them say this. Never ever will you hear them say, guys, get out your checkbook and write a check to your local church. Oh no, 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 no. They want your money to come their way. Just a side note. But the truth is, there are times when God willingly withholds blessings from us because He is actively disciplining us. You'll never hear this, by the way, from those prosperity preachers. You'll never hear anything about God's discipline. It's always health and wealth. But the Bible is clear that God disciplines the ones that He loves. We read this a few weeks ago. God disciplines the ones that He loves. And He tells us, you will find me when you what? When you seek me with all of your heart. All right. So that's one. Are you ready for our second verse pulled out of context? Here we go. Psalm 37, verse 4. Again, I'm reading from the New International Version. Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, here we go. I'm going to get me a new Cadillac Escalade. Sounds good to me, right? What? It says right here, God will give me the desires of my heart. Well, I need a new ride. My Subaru's 6 years old. I'm ready for something new. But anybody, by a show of hands, does anybody think that's what this verse means? Anybody? Anybody? No, I don't think so. How about anybody online? No, nope, nobody's got their hands on online. This verse comes from quite a long chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing. But this chapter shows the contrast between the way the righteous man lives and the way the wicked man lives. It also describes how God will deliver and bless the righteous man while promising destruction for the wicked man. And we're going to read the first 6 verses of this chapter, and then that will give us some clue about what we need to understand to keep it in context. So here's, Ronnie's going to pull up the next section. Here we go. So keep it in context, Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1. 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Your vindication like the noonday sun. I would say it's fair to say that our God can and does bless us in many ways. Our God blesses us in ways that are imperceivable to us, ways that we cannot detect. And I've said many times from this pulpit that our God is a multiplier of blessings. I don't think anybody can possibly deny that. Our God is a multiplier of blessings. And God does promise rewards. However, some of those rewards, and perhaps most of those rewards, are treasures in heaven, the ones that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. And eternal rewards, spiritual rewards, are much more valuable than temporary earthly rewards. But I think that there's a bigger point that we need to make here, and it's this. As we grow closer and closer to our God, our desires will naturally conform more and more to what our God desires. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a new Maserati, but it might mean that God will sustain your 20-year-old vehicle and keep you safe in it. Over time, God will change your wants to match His wants. After all, our desires are often for temporary things, temporary things that gradually become worthless over time. Nothing on this earth lasts forever, right? Nothing tangible that we could own lasts. But what God offers us is eternal. It's greater. Sometimes we make the mistake of asking God and begging God, "Please God, change my circumstances. Please God, I need you to make things easier. Please God, I need you to remove the roadblocks from my life." Sometimes we make the mistake of asking God to change things around us, when in reality our God is trying to change us. We're down here looking up, waving our arms, trying to get His attention. He's up there trying to get our attention. God the Father desires for us to be more Christ-like. What an amazing goal. What a fantastic goal for us to work towards. The Bible describes the goal of sanctification. This word sanctification is a continuing process of becoming more like Christ every single day. So the next time you pray and ask God for something, instead ask Him what He wants for you. Ask God what He desires for you, and then eventually He'll change your wants to match His wants. You know, the Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. The Bible says that God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. In fact, God said those very words to the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah 55:9. He says, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are greater than your thoughts." That absolutely is true. So draw near to God, and He will bless you in ways that you've never thought possible. So as we close here tonight, I'll say that's all for tonight. We've got two verses that we're going to go over. We've got a few more coming down the pike. And just like we said last week, if anyone has a particular verse that you'd like us to discuss, that maybe you think has been taken out of context frequently, and if you've got something you want us to cover, let me know. If you're here tonight, let me know what that verse is. If you're watching online, all you have to do is click that comment button and put the chapter and verse in the comments, and we'll cover it next week. I'll do my best to do it properly. So let me know. If you're watching online, put a comment, and if you're here, let me know, and we'll go over it next week. So let us close in prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to have the word, a complete Bible in our own language, God. And Father, not only that, you've given us so many other resources, God, that we can study and learn and get to know you, God, and know what you have prepared for us in your word, Father. We know that your Bible, God, is sufficient for everything that we need in life. And we want to thank you for this amazing gift. Father, we pray that as we read it, Lord, that you would guide us to teach us and have us learn what you have put in store for us. And Father, as where we stumble and where we don't understand, Father, help us to keep it in context. Father, help us keep it all together that we may understand what the Holy Spirit put down for us. Thank you, Father, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your love for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.